Good morning, St. Luke's. My name is Corey Bickle, and I'm a proud member of the Outreach Ministry team here at St. Luke's. Today's scripture reading is from John chapter 21, verses 1 through 6. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas, called the Twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." Then they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Hey, my name is Javon Caldwell Gross, and I am the teaching and guest experience pastor here at St. Luke's. And I want to welcome you here to the start of a new sermon series called Never the Same, Hopefully. So we begin this six-week series, and we invite you not only just for this Sunday, but for the following Sundays as well. We believe that God is going to speak to us and through us in a mighty way. So we invite you to share it or to invite someone to these services. You never know how God will use this to speak to someone. So listen, won't you just join me for a word of prayer? Dear God, we are so grateful for how you move in our lives. And I'm just moved, and I am just touched, and I'm always awed and how you know how to speak to us in so many different ways. Because today, God, we are in different homes, we're in different cities and states and continents. And yet, God, you are literally everywhere. And you know what we need before we even ask. So we thank you just for the miracle of worship today, for the miracle of speaking to us, for the miracle of just being with us, and for the miracle of helping us feeling connected, even though we're miles apart. So God, our simple prayer today is that you would do what you have done so many days in our lives, and that's just be our God. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Hey, I want to introduce you to someone special today, someone special to me. My kids call her Grandma Honey. So this is us on our Disney trip this past winter, and we were there for a long time, but luckily I survived. And so this is my mother, but my mother and Grandma Honey, same person, but not the same person. I mean, in fact, if you see my mother, please let her know I'm looking for her, because the Grandma Honey that my kids know is not the same mother that I know growing up. In fact, growing up, the mother that I knew made sure that we ate our vegetables every single day. The mother that I knew made sure that we were in by curfew every day. The mother that I knew made sure that we did not wear our shoes inside of the house ever. The mother that I knew never went on any vacations. This was the mother I knew. But the Grandma Honey that my kids know, I mean, this person lets them eat ice cream whenever they want. This person lets them stay up all throughout the night, wear their shoes in the bed. This is not the same person that I know, so if you see her, please let me know. But you know, when I think about it, things started to change several years ago. In fact, I would even say that things started to change in January of 2009, and I will never forget this day. January 2009, I was in Brooklyn, New York. I was sitting at my desk. I got a phone call, and I can hear that my dad was with my mother, and she said three words that completely changed the rest of our lives. In fact, when she said these three words, things were never the same. Things were no longer normal when she said these three words. She says, "I have cancer." And from that day, things were never the same. In fact, we entered into a world of uncertainty. And I would suggest that it's that same world, that same context that brings us to our text. Today's text takes us to a place that we've all been before. It's a place of uncertainty. These disciples are absolutely uncertain about their future, and they don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. But let's not be so judgmental about them, because think about what they've been through in the last 3 years. In fact, 3 years ago, they were out on the seas minding their business, and life was normal, and they met a man by the name of Jesus that promised them something that nobody else in their lives had promised them before. Jesus sees them out on the shores and says, "If you follow me, I will make you. If you follow me, I will make you into something that you've never even imagined that was possible in your life." And so because Jesus gave them an offer they could not refuse, these fishermen, these were not just people who were just fishing as a hobby, but these were people who had given their lives to fishing. Their fathers were fishermen. Their grandfathers were fishermen. Jesus was asking them to completely commit their entire lives to him. So these people who were out on the seas, they dropped everything. They dropped their nets, they left their boats, and they followed Jesus. And yet the same people that literally gave up their lives to follow Jesus heard three words that changed their lives. And after hearing these three words, you know that life would never be the same for them. They heard the words that Christ has died. They gave up everything to follow a man, and now that same man has died. What made it even more confusing were three more words. They left their nets, they left their boats to follow Jesus. Jesus has died, and now Christ has risen. Life can never go back how it was the same ever again. I mean, you can't just pick up where you left off. This man was executed, and now this man has risen from the grave. How in the world do you just go back to the way things used to be? I mean, now their futures are just uncertain. They don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. I mean, what type of job would they have now? How are they going to provide for their family? I mean, they've given up their whole lifestyle, and now they are completely uncertain. These disciples have never been more uncertain than they are right now. In the last 3 years, they've never been more uncertain. What would this mean for their futures? In fact, we have to now ask the critical question, when have you experienced seasons of uncertainty in your own life? When have you experienced seasons of uncertainty? Maybe you were uncertain about your future. Maybe you were uncertain about a relationship. Maybe you were uncertain about a job that you were going to have. Maybe you were uncertain, maybe about the kind of parent that you were going to be. And yet, isn't that the reality that we're living in right now? It is a season of uncertainty. Because that's exactly what COVID-19 has done. COVID-19 has robbed us of certainty. We are not certain how long this is going to last. I mean, think about this for a minute. Think about this. In the last couple weeks, there have been over 20 million people who have filed for unemployment. That's a world of uncertainty. Think about the fact that there are over 500,000 cases in the United States alone of people who've been confirmed of having the virus. I mean, that's a world of uncertainty. And think about all of the parents. Think about all of the parents who are uncertain if they're going to have an ounce of sanity after being locked in quarantine alone with these things called kids. I mean, maybe that's why Peter said, listen, hey, y'all, I'm going back to fishing. I'm going back to what I know. We don't know what tomorrow is going to hold. This whole discipleship thing did not turn out well. We gave up our jobs. We gave up our nets. We gave up our boats. So how about we go back to what we know? Peter decides I'm going back to fishing. And this was not just a commitment to a temporary hobby, but remember, fishing was a lifestyle. It was their job, it was their occupation. And in the presence of uncertainty, we all revert back to default settings. In fact, we see this every day. On most of our electronics, there's something called a default setting. And what it is, they are giving you the option of returning to normal. That's what a default setting is. A default setting is a return to formal operational settings. It is a choice of when things have gone wrong, when things have messed up, they're giving you the option of returning back to normal, returning to the way things used to be. And sometimes we need to ask ourselves, what's our default setting? When things go wrong and when things are uncertain in our lives, where are the places that we find security and comfort? Because sometimes what starts off as the default setting often comes the dysfunctional environment. Because for many people, our default settings are absolutely dysfunctional. For some people, sometimes that's why they drink. It's why we turn to sex. It's why we go spend money. For others, it's why they go to the gym. It's maybe why they grab the gallon of their favorite ice cream and they curl up under the sheets and watch their favorite movie. Some of us go into a hole and we never come out. Because when things go wrong, we all go and find security and comfort in these default settings. Things were uncertain, so Peter says, I'm going back to fishing. I'm going back to what I know. And yet they go out on the seas, and something interesting happens. The nets are coming up empty. I mean, remember, these are expert fishermen. They go out onto the seas. They've literally been out hundreds of times. This is not unknown territory. And yet they're still coming up empty. Here's the critical question. Have you ever tried your best at something and nothing worked? Because maybe it was the nets. Maybe it was the waters. Maybe it was the boats. But maybe it was them. Because in their attempts to get back to normal, they were trying to be something they no longer were. Jesus called them out of those shores and out of those boats and to put down those nets 3 years ago. And here they are trying to relive the past again. Some might even suggest that they were trying to control their futures by reliving their past. In fact, it reminds me of a movie called Back to the Future. And I know it is aging me right now, and I never thought that would happen, but at this very moment, that is what's happening, right? Right now, you are witnessing that right now. And so I remember a movie called Back to the Future, and there were two gentlemen, Marty McFly and Doc Brown. Doc Brown was this crazy scientist who developed a time machine. And they were always unable to embrace their present and their future. And every Back to the Future, part 1, 2, or 3, the same plot, same thing happens. They are unsettled, and they use their time machine to go back to somehow try to change their futures. Instead of living in their futures and embracing their futures, they keep reliving their past movie after movie. Now listen, you don't have to see the movie to live the scene. Because depending on where you are and what season you're in, some of us depend on old nets when God is calling us to move in new seasons. Sometimes God is surrounding us with new fish and we keep using old bait. God sends us all of these new opportunities. God sends us all of these new opportunities. And yet we still keep trying to live a past that God has called us out of. But here's something I want you to write down and remember today. We will never be successful trying to be who we were. We will always come up empty because God called many people to do many things in the Bible, but God never called people to be who they used to be. You can look throughout the whole Bible. God called people to be priests. He called them to be judges. He called them to be leaders. He called them to be writers and scribes. God called people to lead others out of the wilderness, to stand up against injustice. God called people to do a whole lot of things, but God never, not once, called somebody to be who they used to be. So they're searching for a life of normality. They're searching for certainty, and they go out on the shores. They go out on the shores and realize that they keep coming up empty, and yet they hear a stranger on the shores. They recognize a stranger on the shores, and yet it is Jesus that meets them in this season of uncertainty. Now, you would think that if Jesus meets them in this season of uncertainty, you would think if Jesus shows up on the shores in their season of uncertainty, surely Jesus would have answers. Because they don't know what their tomorrow is going to hold, so surely Jesus is going to come with answers. But that's not what God gave them. God gave them the assurance. Because sometimes, even when the answer is uncertain, if I still am assured that God is on the shores, then it doesn't matter what uncertainty comes my way. I know that whatever tomorrow holds, I can beat it, I can fight it, I can face it, I can overcome it, I can deal with it. Even if I have to deal with it in my tears, I can better deal with tomorrow, not because I've got the answers, but because God has given me assurance. So Jesus says, try a new normal. In other words, Jesus suggests to them, which is absolutely radical, Jesus suggests, toss your nets to the other side. Now, that's not radical to our modern ears, but to their ancient Near Eastern fishermen ears, this is not something that's normal. Because for them, what's normal is that they would take their weighted net out into the seas and they would toss it to one side of the boat. And they would leave their weighted net there for hours, because then the net would start to move with the current. And then once the net would start to move with the current, there would be unsuspecting fish that would swim up to the nets, because they would assume that the nets would just be part of the current. And no one would ever suggest, and no one would ever even think about disturbing the waters, because that would mess up their normal. No one would ever suggest moving their net because it would scare the suspecting fish that would swim up to the nets. And yet, that's what Jesus is suggesting. Jesus is suggesting for them to disturb their waters. And if there's something that we don't like, if there is something that can get us upset, if there is something that can rock our faith, it is when our waters are getting disturbed. It's when something happens that we didn't plan for it. It's when something tragic happens that wasn't on our planner. It's when something happens that we were not expecting. It's when something happens to our normal that disturbs the waters of our routines. And yet Jesus knows, and even the fishermen know, if they commit to moving this net to the other side of the boat, things won't be the same. They will never be able to go back to the way things were if they move the net. And yet that's when we have to remind ourselves, we got to remind ourselves and ask the question, am I willing to embrace a new normal or keep lamenting what could have been? Am I willing to embrace the new normal? Am I willing to try something different? Am I willing to throw the net on the other side? Because if I do, things will never be the same. In fact, when I'm thinking about Grandma Honey, and that day 2009, things were never the same. Things were never really normal after that. Remember, I told you this was the same woman that made sure that we ate our vegetables every day. Remember, I told you this was the same woman that made sure that we didn't wear our shoes in the house. This was the same woman that never went on any vacations ever. And yet, after that day, things were never the same. In fact, just in the last couple years, this same woman My mother or Grandma Honey, whichever you prefer, she has gone to a trip to Aruba. She has gone on a family trip to Disney World. She has gone to Vegas for her 70th birthday party and was sending me messages with hashtags while she was in Vegas. I don't know how in the world my 70-year-old mother knows how to hashtag, but she would often say to us and remind us that life is too short. After that day, things were never normal for her. Things were never the same. And I believe that that is the same reality that these disciples faced, that when they decided to throw their nets onto the other side, things were never the same. In fact, when they threw the nets to the other side, the nets almost broke because they found so much fish there because there was someone on the shores that suggested to them a new normal. There was someone there on the shores that could see their future better than they could. So I'm reminded that things may not be the same. After COVID-19, church may not be the same. But that doesn't mean that God can't create something meaningful out of a new normal. I don't know what tomorrow holds. I have no idea what's going to happen with the employment. I have no idea what's going to happen to the economy. We are living in a world of uncertainty. But perhaps God is standing on the shores, not shouting out answers, but maybe just looking over there gives us a bit of assurance that maybe God didn't come all this way to stand on the shores of uncertainty simply for us to go back to the way things used to be. So maybe the hope is that God is not just calling us to go back to normal, but God is calling us to embrace a future that maybe even we can't even see right now. That's our hope, and that's also our challenge. Won't you pray with me? God, we're so grateful for how you move in our lives. We're so grateful that even now you are speaking and moving and working across the internet. You're working across the waves. You're working in people's hearts. And that's just the hope that we stand on today. Because there might be somebody here who's never made a decision about Jesus Christ. And yet you're speaking to them right now, reminding them that you're still standing on the shores of assurance. Maybe there's somebody who was watching or just listening, wherever they might be in the world, who's so uncertain about their job, who's so uncertain about their family, who may be so uncertain about their health, and maybe came here looking for answers. Maybe they tuned in looking for answers, and maybe you're just reminding them in the still small voice that you're still there, you're still on the shore. And maybe there might be somebody who is desperately asking that after this time to go back to normal. And yet maybe to them you might be suggesting that there might be some greater things on the other side of this that maybe we can't even see. So God, continue to bless us and continue to move. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
His son, they called him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. how sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy he gives, but greater still.
Listen, those aren't just lyrics, but that is the hope and the promise that so many people are standing on today. Because he lives, we can face tomorrow. Even if tomorrow is uncertain, even if tomorrow is outside of our control, with God standing on the shores, I know that we can face it. Listen, it's not because of what we have, it's not because of what we know, but simply because he lives. Were these last several weeks normal? Absolutely not. But was God present with us? Absolutely. Hey, it was so great connecting with you today, whether you're living in the Indianapolis area or you are watching from all around the world. But listen, feel free to send this to someone who might need some encouragement this week. And we hope that you will join us over this next several weeks as we look at different areas of our lives where God might be moving us to create a new normal. And listen, you don't want to miss next week, so we'll see you at the same time, at the same place. And you remember, let the light of Christ move wherever you are, even if tomorrow is uncertain. So be safe, stay inside, and may the Lord bless you real good. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.